September of last year, the master returned with his latest project. Michael Moore, love him or hate him, has been a very powerful figure both politically and socially through his documentaries. And this time, he was taking aim at what seemed to be the very institutions of political America. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we're going to be diving into Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 11/9. Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not a show, a documentary, a document, anything that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PAXINC, a Black activist advocacy and think tank organization, with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education, a culture shift, and economics. You can check them out at www.paxinc.org. That's PACTSINC.ORG, paxinc.org. Head on over to the website. Give a comment. Check out the Learning Center. New books uploaded daily. New content uploaded daily. Take a survey. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Give a donation. Buy from Amazon using the Smile link. Do whatever you can to support them because they are doing whatever they can to support you. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Let's get into what we're going to get into. So this documentary starts out talking about Election Day and how the emotions of so many were changed in a matter of hours as people went from being euphoric and excited about the impending Hillary Clinton presidency, the first woman president, and blah, 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 to dread as it became more and more likely that Donald Trump was going to win. And the documentary starts out by asking the same question that everyone who pretended like we didn't live in America was asking. How in the hell did this happen? Now, Michael Moore has a very entertaining style of producing his documentaries. He mixes humor in. He mixes in a lot of social activity, a lot of propaganda. But altogether, it comes out to be interesting story, and in this one it was no different. He started out by blaming Gwen Stefani, and he started out by saying that Donald Trump was mad at Gwen Stefani for getting more money to be on The Voice than Donald Trump was getting to be on The Apprentice. And his very first presidential engagement was actually a publicity stunt to get NBC to give him more money. We know how that started. That ended up with the rants, all of the many different talking points that have carried their way forward throughout his presidency, through the campaign, and into his presidency. And he ended up getting fired by NBC. And like I said, the assertion there is that the Trump presidential campaign started out as a publicity stunt to get more money from a network, and it turned into an ego trip. He shifts his attention to the media and all the sexual predators present on the screen and Trump's ability to manipulate the media, something that he's been able to do quite successfully since the 80s, and his weird relationship with his daughter, where I honestly think if Trump could have sex with his daughter and not be ridiculed for it, he probably would. He has a very interesting, I mean, I know fathers dote on their daughters, and every father thinks that their daughter is just gorgeous and sweet and blah, blah, blah. But I've not heard a father go to the lengths that Donald Trump has gone to when describing his daughter. Even going so far as to say if he was 10 years younger, he would probably be dating his daughter or something like that. Or if, you know, somebody asked him what they had in common and he said, or his daughter said something and he said, I was going to say sex and blah, blah. It's just a really weird situation going on between Donald Trump and his daughter. In any case, from there you switch gears to talk about Flint and the water crisis. He takes it back a bit further, talking about how Michigan got to that point with 50% of the blacks in the state of Michigan being eventually put under emergency power compared to 2% of the whites in Michigan. And this was all under Governor Snyder. Then he maneuvers that into the Flint water situation. He moves on to attack the Electoral College, essentially blaming them for why the Democrats aren't in control of the country, stating that the system was created to appease the slaveholding states and needs to be destroyed. He accuses Democrats of acting like Republicans by going corporate, mistreating blacks, and creating apathy amongst voters. He definitely accused them for what happened with Bernie Sanders in the primaries. He asserts that even though Bernie Sanders won the popular vote in several states, the delegates of those states still put their support behind Hillary Clinton, and he blames the Democratic Party for that. He also blames Hillary Clinton for being inactive. He bounced back and forth a lot between topics. They all tied in a way, but they were very disjointed. He started with Michigan, and then he went into Flint, and then he went into politics, and then he media Trump, and then he was just going, it seemed like he was kind of going all over the place instead of finishing out one narrative and bringing up another one, or even, you know, pausing the script as he maneuvered in different places as he set everything up to come to a head together. Everything just kind of seemed to be like where it was, like scatterbrained. So after all this political stuff, he went back to Flint talking about how, you know, people were told to lie to parents if their children failed the lead test for elevated lead levels in their blood. People were told to tell them that their children were at safe levels of lead in their blood. And he moved back into politics, talking about the new wave of Democrats further attacking the old guard and moderates. And he summed up most of this by saying that the Democratic Party at this point wants people that will win. From there, he left politics again to talk about the Parkland situation. He showed a lot of love for the kids, especially with regards to their political influence. And he talked about the failure of politicians, even, you know, talking about Obama. He was actually very critical about Barack Obama in the documentary. And at that point was accentuated by the unannounced military drills that further terrorized the residents of Flint and sparked conspiracy theories galore as people watched as the tanks and the military vehicles passing through towns from all over the country gathered there in Flint. And there was a lot of talk about a military takeover. There was a lot of talk about all these different situations. And at the end of the day, it came out that it was a military drill. I guess the military was taking advantage of all of the abandoned buildings. It all sums itself up because he went into Adolf Hitler, and he went a bunch of different directions to all basically make the point that America is in a really bad state, and it's everybody's fault, but the children are doing better. And he's, you know, that was kind of the whole trend of it. It wasn't just about Donald Trump. It was about his view of where America is right now. So this documentary gives a lot of food for thought, for like most of his documentaries do for people. And I will say this on the outset, although I like Michael Moore and what he does, I'm not a fan of his films. In my opinion, they are basically just a big pile of propaganda. And I say that as somebody that agrees with a lot of the conclusions that he comes to, even if I don't agree with how he gets there. I agree with a lot of his politics, even though I don't necessarily agree or with how he goes about it, some of the tactics he utilizes, the ploys, if you will, the stunts if you will, such as in the film where he took a big truck of Flint water and he sprayed it all over the governor's lawn, you know, while the governor wasn't home. To me, that's kind of like a, yeah, so what? You don't get no points for that from me. Or when he, you know, walked into the governor's office, Governor Snyder, and tried to get his communications director to drink a glass of Flint water. You know, again, yeah, whatever. You don't get no credit for that from me. But the points he makes about the racism going on in Michigan, the 50% of blacks in the state were under emergency power compared to 2% of whites, that's a powerful point that black people definitely need to take note of. Even when he went to the Parkland school situation, the Parkland school shooting, talking to the kids, listening to them talk, their excitement, but also their ignorance about how the world works, about how politics works, but also the way they claimed responsibility and credit for things that might not have even been things that they were responsible for, such as getting this person elected or encouraging this person or getting this person to decide to run or things of that nature. There was a lot there that I felt like I understood him as a documentarian. He wanted to just capture what was happening. But in a Michael Moore film, you know, he does a lot more than just capture what's happening. He's also directly involved in interacting with what's happening. And for all his talk about racial justice and this, that, and the third, I didn't see him talking to a lot of black people about what was going on outside of what was going on in Flint. So even in terms of the school shootings and things like that, you know, they're in there talking about how these kids are changing the world. And I'm looking at kids that look like younger versions of the people that right now run America. You're looking at young, well-off, not wealthy, but definitely well-off, not hurting white kids. A bunch of young white males at that. So I didn't see this major change or this major appeal to who we all are. And I think we got to be cognizant of that when we're watching these things and we're crowning the youth. Do the youth look just like, and do they come from the same households that have traditionally caused these problems? Because if the answer is yes, then I don't understand why we're encouraged simply because they're young. That doesn't make much sense to me. I can't say that I agree with that wholly. So as with all of his films, you know, I take everything with a grain of salt. You know, how do I want to read this? How should I interpret that? I don't necessarily go with his way of thinking because that's essentially all his documentaries are, is him presenting what he thinks and then presenting the facts to back them up. And as I said on numerous occasions, I like my documentaries more fair and balanced. I like my documentaries to present both sides of the argument. Let me make up my own damn mind. I don't need you to tell me how I should think and how I should feel about a particular situation. And a Michael Moore film is going to give you exactly how you should think and how you should feel. But I think we should all be cautious of documentaries like this as well, because while they do a lot of complaining, they do very little explaining. And that's just something that I've noticed, not just in Michael Moore's films, but in a lot of films, a lot of documentaries nowadays. They don't really explain to you how the system works. So like when he's talking about Bernie Sanders won the popular vote in several states, but the delegates still chose to put their support behind Hillary Clinton, he doesn't explain to you what's going on in a Democratic primary. He doesn't, not, and when I say Democratic, I don't mean a Democratic as in majority rules. I mean the Democratic Party. He doesn't explain to you what's going on in the Republican Party's primary. He doesn't explain to you that these people, they have their superdelegates in place, but as a whole, parties can select who they want to represent them. They hold these votes in order to maintain trust and in order to get some public insight. But the parties have the absolute right to select who they want to represent their party, meaning the party heads. If you have a problem with that, you cannot be a part of their party. It's, to me, that's similar to how everyone was getting all up in arms about the fact that independents don't vote in primaries. It makes perfect sense. I'm an independent, but it makes perfect sense that an independent wouldn't be allowed to choose who is going to represent a party that I'm not a part of. That makes perfect sense to me. He didn't explain the difference between delegates who vote the way of the popular vote and superdelegates, which is how Hillary Clinton ended up winning. He also didn't explain the fact that Bernie Sanders actually endorsed Hillary Clinton. And this was before he lost. The water got murky around about that time when he started kind of sort of endorsing Hillary Clinton. That might have lost him some delegates. So he never explains how the process works. He never explains what's going on in politics, even when he talks about the Electoral College. Now, at any point did he ever say that when you vote for president, you're not voting for the president. You're voting for the Electoral College people in your state that are going to vote for president. If the Democratic Party wins, then their electoral voters vote. If the Republican Party wins your state, then their electoral voters vote. And they tend to vote the way of the popular election, but not always. You have to look at your state to see if your state has laws that regulates things like that. But even the assertion that the Electoral College is a relic of slavery, that's up for debate. The Electoral College, the way the system is actually set up, is you get as many electoral voters as you have people in the House and the Senate combined. So if your every state has two senators, but if your state has 23 members in House, then you have 25 electoral voters. And those people, you know, they vote for the president and you vote for those people. Now, it's up for debate as to whether or not the Electoral College was put in place because of slavery. It is tied to slavery, the Three-Fifths Compromise and that whole deal. It's tied to it most definitely. But there isn't a whole lot to say that it was caused by it, because on some ways you could say that it's beneficial to the southern states, but in other ways, especially nowadays, you could say that it's beneficial for the masses of people who overwhelmingly live in these majority progressive states like California, like a New York, like these places of that nature. So that's a whole debate back and forth that we really don't have time to get into right now, because we could have a whole show just on that. But the point I'm making is that whole dynamic is never even fleshed out in this 2-hour long documentary. You can't have a conversation about the Electoral College and not talk about how the system works. He accuses Democrats of acting like Republicans, saying that this is a recent phenomenon. But in terms of the Democratic Party, and liberal whites in general in America, they have mistreated blacks. It just hasn't been as egregious as the conservative whites, the more racist or white supremacist whites. But the liberals, let's not forget about the Compromise of 1877. I talked about that last show, and I'm bringing it up here again because this is still kind of on politics. And also, there's also a disingenuous nature in it, in that he says that Donald Trump won the Electoral College, but he lost the popular vote. And so Hillary Clinton should have been president because she won the popular vote. But then he goes on to say that Donald Trump was cheated because he should have got the delegates to win the Democratic nomination, even though in total Hillary Clinton had more of the Democratic votes. So in that sense, he's making arguments against himself where it fits. On the one hand, the popular vote should matter in terms of the president, But on the other hand, the popular vote should not matter in terms of the Democratic primaries because of this situation with blah, blah, blah. And that's where you get into conflating the issues. Okay, Bernie Sanders won every county in this particular state. That's still one particular state. So I understand you saying that, well, if Bernie Sanders won this state, and this state, and he won more states than Hillary Clinton, then he should have won the Democratic primary. But you got to take that same approach when it comes to Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton had the popular vote. Donald Trump won over 30 states. So you see how that works out? I hope I'm doing an accurate job of explaining it to people, how that works out. If you're going to say that Bernie Sanders should have won because he won more states, even though Hillary Clinton won the popular vote in the Democratic primary, you can't then turn around and say that Hillary Clinton should be president because she won more the popular vote, even though Donald Trump won more states. It looks to me like Hillary Clinton has a problem where she's getting the votes in the most populous areas, but the system isn't set up to work where getting the most votes wins. You have to win the most areas individually. And I like that system. That system is in place for a reason. It's in place so that New York, California, Texas, and Florida don't dictate what's going on in all of America, because that's where people live. And even to that point was never explained. So there's just so much missing in terms of the political discourse, in terms of the social discourse, in terms of understanding the problems. And there was 2 hours of this documentary in order to cover all of that material. Maybe you should have narrowed it down and zeroed in more so that you can provide the details, so that you have people that are actually informed about the why of a situation, instead of you telling people how to feel about a particular situation. And that's me talking to Michael Moore. So on the whole, I gave this documentary 2 out of 5. It was not his best work, in my opinion. There were too many holes, too many gaps, too one-sided, leaped to too many conclusions. It was too long for what it was. There was just too much wrong with this for me to give it anything higher than a 2 out of 5. And Michael Moore is still good at what he does. It was still a good story. It's a great piece for creating conversation. It presented a narrative, only one narrative. And it's definitely not something that I'm going to say you should not watch. You should watch it, and you should talk about it and think about it as you watch it. Most definitely. It's one of those things where I don't think it was necessarily a waste of time, but I don't think that it did a good job in presenting all of the information so that you come out of it better than you were when you went into it. You're not going to come out of this more informed, in my opinion, about how things got this way and why they are this way. You're going to come out more emotional with a few more facts to help if you agree with him. And you're going to come out of this more emotional and angry if you don't agree with him. But there isn't anything in this that's going to explain the way the world works, the way the system works. And it's damn sure nothing in this that is going to explain how to go about changing the system. So I didn't, you know, and I love Michael Moore films because they do this. Even when I disagree with them, they give you so much content to talk about. And it's really hard for me to do this show and not give a bunch of spoilers about exactly what's going on in it, fine tooth combing it and laying out real specific details of points that I would love to argue against the four. But you should definitely check it out and engage in a conversation with me. And with that being said, that's this episode of Lessons from the Screen. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, if you didn't catch the show last week talking about the criminal justice system, I'm pumping that show because I feel like it's an important discussion. Because the criminal justice system is one of those things in the black community that we're all passionate about because it affects so many of us. So definitely go back and check out that show and get informed and engage with me on that topic. And I will see you guys next week for the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. I also want to encourage you guys to head over to the website, www.freedomtrainnetwork.com. You can head over there to the website, gain access to all of the shows on the Freedom Train Network, including this one. You can access to old shows, new shows. You should also check out the Freedom Train app. You can find it in the Google Play Store. If you research Google Play or research Freedom Train Radio or Freedom Train Presents or Freedom Train Network, you'll find the app there and you'll see the Choo Choo Train. That is our trademark Choo Choo Train for the Freedom Train. You can get all of the shows right there on your cell phone. Notification whenever we drop anything, or maybe we just want to see a notification saying hi. So you should definitely go and get that app. And you should also take a listen to our live internet radio streams throughout the weekend. We're dropping lectures, we're dropping shows, we're dropping all kinds of interesting things on the weekends. So definitely take advantage of that. I want to thank you guys again for supporting us. And as always, we appreciate you. We'll see you next week. This is the Freedom Train Network Presents Lessons from the Screen.